The message this morning is, how is your heart? Here it is, May 2nd. We have a lovely diffused sunlight coming through the clouds for those listening from some other place in the country. It's a warm, toasty 52. Good weather. Any weather you don't have to shovel is good weather. Any weather that doesn't sweep you off the road is good weather. Praise God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. How is your heart? Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." Another way of saying that first part is, a merry heart makes the medicine work better. That's what another translation says. It's another way that's referred to. But having a joyful heart, having a heart set on God, makes everything a little bit better. When we focus on the Lord, when we focus on God, even when we have difficulties in our life, we have hope and we have an expectation that God is still at work. If, on the other hand, we allow our circumstances to get us depressed, if we allow our situations to get the better of us, we take our eyes off of the Lord, it's hard to find hope. It's hard to find peace. It's hard to find health. In Matthew 12, Jesus is talking. And he's talking to the crowd around him, which includes a bunch of scribes and Pharisees. And he says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your works you will be justified, and by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, back in chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that when you look at somebody with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart already. When you hate your brother without a cause, you've committed murder in your heart already. It's the state of our heart that matters. It's the state of our heart that kind of brings forth whatever's going on. So Jesus, as he says here in Matthew 12, out of the good treasure of your heart, you bring forth good things. And out of the evil treasure of an evil person's heart, they bring forth evil things. So the question comes up again, how's your heart? Are we bothering to stop and check? Or are we just going on about our business? Everything's good. Do-do-do-do-do. Walking down the road. Nothing new. Nothing going on. Do we get that check in our spirit sometimes when something comes up? I was in the Navy for 14 years. I used to have a very limited vocabulary. For a long time, I had a very limited vocabulary. As God started working on me, I can say it has been many years since some of that vocabulary came out of my mouth.
Amen.
But I also have to be honest to tell you, I've stopped it at the back of my tongue a couple of times. Every once in a while, it still comes up and it's ready. And I have to clamp my mouth shut. I have to check my heart. I have to find out who I am. And realize that each and every day, each and everything I do has to be reflect who God is in me and who I am in Christ. I have to examine myself each and every day. Some days I look pretty good. Some days I don't. But I have to keep doing it. I can't give up. I can't get complacent. I have to continue to examine myself. I have to continue to trust that God is changing me and continue to go back to Him. That verse 36 is one of those things that scare me. You have scriptures that scare you? "But I say that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account." Do you ever like to talk just to hear yourself talk? Sometimes I'm guilty of that. You ever have a wit so quick and a tongue so sharp that you've said something mean before you can stop yourself? You know? Every idle word we shall speak, we'll have to give an account. Lord, help me. Or are we examining our hearts? Are we saying, God, I need you to touch and change me? We saying, create in me a clean heart. And what was the other one? Refiner's fire. Purify my heart, Lord. Lord, I need you each and every day to touch me, to change me, to make me more like Jesus. So in Matthew 15, beginning with verse 15, so this is the third time in Matthew, Jesus has talked about the wickedness of your heart coming out. Matthew 15, verse 15 says, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' And Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" Debbie and I, before we moved the camper to Apple Island, Debbie and I would go and do our walk along the inside wall of Walmart. And I'm walking around one day, and I've got a couple of coats from there. And I'm walking along, and there's a coat exactly like one of the ones that I had bought. And all of a sudden, this thought comes up and says, "You could just put that on, walk off. You got one just like it. Nobody'd ever know." I'm like, "Where in the world does that come from?"
Wow.
Ouch. I was 13, 14 maybe. I was shopping in a Zayre's, which tells you how long ago it was. I was shopping in a Zayre's. My mom was waiting out in the car. I had my brother Jesse, who's 14 months younger than I am, and my uncle Buddy, who's 13 months older than I am, with me. So we're in the store, and I don't know what I was in to get. While I was in there, my uncle, who is, of course, my grandparents' baby and was spoiled beyond spoiled because of that. He could do no wrong. He was stealing some cassette tapes, because this is before CDs. You know, we're talking a long time ago. And I didn't know anything about it until we went to leave and we got caught by security and hauled upstairs. Scared the snot out of me. I don't steal in a store. I try real hard not to steal. I don't steal, you know. I say that. Sure enough, one of these days I'll accidentally put something in my pocket, forget about it, and get busted. But that's not who I am. That's not something that I do. Yet walking around, here comes that thought. Where do these evil thoughts come from? The enemy is always working on us, but so is our flesh. What's the wickedness in our heart? There's a scripture in Ezekiel that talks about, it's where it talks about the flying roll, which gets into a whole bunch of symbolism that I don't even understand. But in that he says, the liar and the thief have committed the same sin. So all of these things come up. Are we checking our heart? Are we examining ourselves on a regular basis to see where we are? Are we trusting that God can change us? When we find impurities, when we find ourselves falling short, do we go back to the refiner's fire? My heart's one desire is to be holy. Lord, purify my heart. Do we go back to Psalm 51? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Don't cast me away from your presence. We have to continue to go before the Lord. So here in Matthew 15, like I said, the third time in Matthew, Jesus has talked about the wickedness in a person's heart coming out. That's where these things come from. But now let me give you some good news. And to give you this good news, I have to give you a history lesson. Of course, being very familiar with your Bible, this is not going to be a surprise to anybody. But in 2 Chronicles, and before we actually get to the scripture, we're going to have to lead up to it. The Assyrian Empire had conquered pretty much a good portion of the world. They'd already taken away the northern kingdoms and had come up against Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the king is Hezekiah. The general of Sennacherib was the emperor of the Persian or the Assyrian Empire. His general, his name was Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh sends a letter into Jerusalem, sends messengers in a letter, and in the letter it says, the gods of all of these other nations were not able to protect their people. Your God will not be able to either. It's a waste of time for you to try to rely upon your God and depend on that. We will take you over. And they gave it to Hezekiah, the king. And Hezekiah, the king, took it before the Lord. He went into the temple and he spread it out and said, Lord, look at this. This is what they're saying, but we know that you are God. And Hezekiah cried out to the Lord, and the prophet came and said, basically the real New English translation came and said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of this. And the army of the Assyrians were wiped out by the Spirit of the Lord. So when they were delivered, they decided, it's time to go before the Lord. It's time to celebrate. We are going to give praise to God. It's what we're going to do. So in 2 Chronicles 30, beginning with verse 17, the people are gathered together. And says, there were a great many in the assembly who had not sanctified themselves. Therefore, the Levites had charge of the slaughter of the Passover lambs for everyone who was not clean, to sanctify them to the Lord. For the multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun. Hang on just a second right there. Those were all part of the northern kingdoms that had been taken away. But these people had fled to Jerusalem, had fled to Judah to be protected by them. Had not yet cleansed himself, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. They hadn't taken the time to examine their hearts. They hadn't taken the time to make sure they had things right with God before they were celebrating the wonderful thing that God had done. Before they were partaking in this Passover feast, celebrating the deliverance of God. Continuing on, still in verse 18, says, but Hezekiah, the king, prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Even back in the Old Testament, the king, the person who was responsible, the person who was in charge, said, Lord, cleanse them. Lord, touch them. Lord, deliver them. He went to them and God heard it. We are called to examine ourselves, but we are also called to pray for other people that God touch them anyway. Do you know people that are living a messed up life? I do. Do we lift them up and pray for them that God touch them? Amen. Do we know people that are just so much in bondage they don't even know which way to turn? Do we lift them up and pray for them? Because not only do we have to examine our hearts, but even as Samuel, got to remember these things. Samuel told the people, remember back we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, in 1 Samuel where the people decided that they no longer wanted to be ruled by God, they wanted to have a king. And God said, okay, if that's what you want, this is what's going to happen. And when Samuel rebuked them, they said, we're sorry, basically. We're sorry, but don't forget to pray for us. And Samuel said, I will not sin before the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Samuel, the prophet, Samuel, the judge of Israel, knew it would be a sin to not pray for other people. Scripture in the New Testament tells us that men ought always to pray lifting up holy hands. But it tells us to pray for the kings and all of those who are in authority, and that prayers and supplication be made for everyone. Are we doing that? Or do we need to re-examine our heart again? Guilty. Each and every one of us, we're called each day to draw closer to the Lord. We get refined each day by the work of God in our hearts. Each and every day, God is doing something wondrous in us. And we can look back, and sometimes looking at the day, we don't see a whole lot of progress today. But if I look back to last week, or if I look back to 20-some years ago, or even longer, see where God has brought me through. God has done wondrous things in my heart and in my life. And God's doing wondrous things in your heart and your life too. We are called to examine our heart. How is your heart? Are you checking on it? Hezekiah prayed out to the Lord and said, Lord God, be merciful to these people. And the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Praise God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God wants us to draw close. He's right there. Scripture says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast on Him, that He might show Himself strong on their behalf. God wants to work in your life. God wants to work in your circumstances. Are we seeking God for His grace? Are we seeking God for His direction? Are we checking our heart to make sure our heart is set on the things of God? Final passage, Psalm 119. No, I'm not going to do the whole Psalm 119 for a final passage. Psalm 119 is 150 verses. It'd take a little while. But we're going to do the section that's referred to as Bet, the second section. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, How can a young man cleanse his way? Young man, young woman, young boy, young girl, old man, old woman. How can a person cleanse their way? By taking heed according to your word. By getting in the word of God and examining it and examining our life in reflection of what the word of God says. Goes on verse 10, With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. I'm seeking you, Lord, but there's that tendency, so drag me back. Draw me back by your spirit. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Even though the word is in there, do we sometimes? Yeah. I might not. There's a chance. I've hidden your word in my heart so that there's a chance I can make it through this day without sinning. There's a chance that I can do everything right. I know, Lord, you direct my steps. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. God is the one who picks us up. God is the one who keeps our feet from falling. Yet we are to seek Him according to His Word. We are to seek Him in His Word and examine our lives in reflection of that Word. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Is that a cry of our heart? Lord, teach me. Lord, work in me. Lord, draw me. Lord, make me more like Jesus. Lord, examine my heart. Lord, guide me. Verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Do we rehearse what God has done, how God has been faithful in our lives? Do we tell people the great and wondrous things God has done? Do we talk out loud? You know, messed up as I am, you should have seen me before God started fixing me. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. Lord, I look at your word and I'm excited. If you can use those messed up people, there's hope, God, you can use me too. And if you can use me, think of all the other messed up people you can use. God, you can do wondrous things. And we get excited about the things of God because He has shown Himself faithful. Again, the other half of verse 14, as much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. What do we start with in verse 9? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof according to your word. The answer is in God's word. The motto for this church, God's word has the answer. We may not always find it. We may not always go looking for it. We may get confused. We may do a lot of things. But God's word has the answer. Are we willing to go look? Are we willing to draw close? Are we willing to seek him? Because if we're willing to do that, we're willing to examine our heart. We get out of our own way and let God work through us. We recognize what God has called us to do and we step out to do it. And we see his mercy work through us. We see him work in our lives. But more importantly, we see other people be affected by the grace of God. I tell people all the time, heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. Our goal is to show the grace and love and mercy of God so that other people might come to know him. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's our plan, is to show the love of God to people who so desperately need him. And you have neighbors that need him. You have family members that need him. We have kids that need him. If you're still working, you have coworkers that need him. The person across the gas station needs Jesus. Across the pump at the gas station needs Jesus. Every person we encounter, every person around us needs, I need Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. We can talk about the goodness of God, but I don't know everything there is to know. But I get encouraged by hearing people talk about what God has done, and we can look back and see what he's already brought us through. This message started with, how is your heart? And we're going to go on. We're going to take communion here in just a minute. We take an open communion. Open communion, if you believe the Lord Jesus died for your sins, rose again, and has saved you, you're welcome to come partake. Some places say, oh, if you're not part of our little group, you don't get to. No, it's open. And we do it a little different than some people do. We'll break the bread. You come up and take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and partake. That's how we do it here. See, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. He didn't say, do it this way. The church I grew up in, they never took communion because they couldn't find anywhere in Scripture where Welch's got the patent to make Jesus' blood. Okay, people are messed up. People all over the place are messed up. But we all need Jesus. So let's... take this. Scripture says that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And then he took the cup. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. And he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you were willing to sacrifice yourself, willing to lay down your life, knowing you would take it up again to fulfill the curse of the law and to bring healing and life and restoration and reconciliation to men back to God. We are so grateful, Father. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank you, Father, that you made a plan before the foundation of the world. Father, that looking down over the pages of time, you knew what was coming. And even back in Genesis, even talking with Eve and the serpent and Adam, you made the very first prophecy of a coming Messiah. Set in place. Jesus came. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You have made the way that we might become sons and daughters of God. Children of the Most High. And we are grateful for that. We do examine ourselves. Paul told us to examine ourselves. That we don't eat and drink in an unworthy manner. not recognizing what you've done, not doing it just out of rote, not doing it just out of habit, but recognizing that had it not been for Lord Jesus, had it not been for His shedding of blood, His shedding of His blood on the cross, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We could not boldly stand in Your presence. But because of what He's done on our behalf, we can boldly come before the throne of grace. We recognize that and recognize that You are the one who redeemed our lives from destruction. So you're welcome to come. Come up and take a piece of the bread, dip it into the juice, and just give thanks to the Lord for what He has done on your behalf. You may come. God bless you. 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 God bless you.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well.
God. Thank you. I bless you.
God Jesus. Bless you. Amen. God bless you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Father, we thank You for the atonement, for the propitiation of our sins, for our healing and restoration, for our reconciliation into the family of God. You created man to be Your companion and to walk in fellowship with You. We thank You, Lord, that You've restored that right, restored that ability, and have drawn us by Your Spirit. Jesus said, no one can come to Me except My Father in heaven draw them. So, Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit, You drew us back into the family. You weren't content to leave us wandering, lost, and hopeless. But You have given us Your hope. You have given us Your grace. And we are so grateful. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.